Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Men, find relief from BPH with a new Aquablation therapy from Baptist Memorial Hospital, North Mississippi. Embrace life again with the only real-time water jet treatment for men with BPH. Call 662-234-1448 and get better with Baptist.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday. Ole Miss had an extremely successful weekend in athletics. I mean, quite literally, everybody won. Everybody won. Basketball got a massive, needed to have it win, and it was not exactly pretty at times, but it doesn't matter, especially in this version of the SEC. They got a win. That is what matters. So basketball wins, a very, very important win. Baseball sweeps. Jackson Dart shined at the combine. The women's basketball team got a big win over LSU tonight. Softball swept. I think even the tennis teams won. Literally everybody affiliated with Ole Miss Athletics that had games this weekend won them. It was a highly, highly successful weekend. Let me turn the fan on here. It was a highly successful weekend. All Ole Miss did was win. So let's talk about it on this edition of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already. Like the video. Leave a comment if you're watching after the fact. I would love to see you. If you're listening in podcast form, I appreciate you being here. If you're watching or listening on YouTube, subscribe to the Rebel Report wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And this edition of the show is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. 662-397-9799 is the phone number. They're in Fulton, Mississippi, but they can take care of you anywhere in this state. Personal injury. If you've been personally injured, do not waste another second. Wake up tomorrow. Call DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm at 662-397-9799. Also, if you're a small business owner, or you want to start a small business and you don't really know what to do, you need to figure out a way to cross your T's and dot your I's. 662-397-9799 is the phone number. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm presenting this very show, and we appreciate him for it. But more importantly, he's going to take care of you for personal injuries, small business, and contract disputes. So we'll start with basketball, because I think that was the biggest win of the weekend, the most important when it comes to postseason and like school and all that. Ole Miss gets an 87-84 win over Oklahoma in what was a light crowd in the pavilion, relatively speaking, anyway. Sean Padula, the hero for Ole Miss, the Oklahoma native, had 26 points, 8 of 16 from the field, made 5 of his 9 threes, also had 3 assists and a couple of steals as well. Still struggles inbounding the basketball, and I don't know why they put him in that position, but they do, and he does, and that's okay. Jamin Brakefield was second for the Rebels in scoring. A good day for him until the free throws came. He was 5 of 9 from the field, so he made all 5 of his shots at the basket, but missed all 4 of his threes, was only 6 of 10 from the free throw line. Dre Davis was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 13 points for Ole Miss. I thought he had a good day. I would love for him to be more aggressive. I think that he can really take this team to another level if he, frankly, just shoots at a higher volume. If he attacks the basket more, I like his game a lot. Although, again, when Padula's got such a volume, I don't know if you want to take away shots from him when he's on like he was yesterday either, but it doesn't matter either way. Dre Davis gives you very efficient 13 points. Malik Dia gives you 10 on 2 of 6 from the field. Matt Morrell, I think, had a nice day, especially considering the injury. 4 of 7 from the field. Made both of his free throws. They were at the end of the game, and they were very, very clutch. He also had a steal as well. I thought you got some really good minutes from Barnes as well. He had 29 minutes in the game. Made all 3 of his shots, but had 4 rebounds, 2 of which were offensive, and an assist to go along with it. Only 7 points on the day, but I did really like his minutes, and I can't help but wonder if Barnes should, I mean, maybe it's too late to make a change like in your starting lineup, but I can't help but wonder if Barnes needs to be taking some minutes away from Murray, because right now, you're really not getting much from Juju Murray. And I know he can really fill up the stat sheet, especially from the outside. But until that day comes again, I can't help but wonder if maybe there needs to be some minutes given to Barnes from Murray. But either way, Ole Miss gets a massive win. And, you know, this team is still incredibly frustrating to watch for a few reasons. Like the first 8 minutes of the game, I thought they played really good, hyperactive defense. Like we had a soccer game, and so I had to leave and had to listen to the rest of the game on the radio, go back and watch it later. But after the first 8 minutes, like we left the house, and I thought, you know, they're locked in. They're about to blow them out. Like playing really good defense, they're locked in. They're being menaces on the perimeter. They're forcing turnovers. This game is going to be a smooth one for them. And then they get an 11-point lead, and I thought, you know, hey, they're just going to kind of coast to this one. This is what they needed. This is exactly what the doctor ordered. And then Oklahoma goes on a run and cuts it to, what was it, one at halftime. I have the box score right here. Yeah, Ole Miss was up one at the half. And then in the second half, a similar thing happens. Ole Miss stretches the lead to nine. They've got some momentum, and I thought, okay, the game's over here. Like they have done enough again. It got weird for a little bit, but the game's over. And then Oklahoma, a guy off the bench who I did not know who he was until yesterday, Forsyth, just continued to make outside shots. And for some reason, I'm sure the scouting report was not like, if Forsyth has the ball at the perimeter, you better lock him down like none other. But after a couple of threes that he makes, maybe they should have done a better job at limiting his shots. They didn't. He kept making them. And then Ole Miss missed 4 of 5 free throws down the stretch, and the game had to get weird again. And Padula, the hero, makes the shot. Then they force an Oklahoma miss, and Morrell makes a pair of free throws, and that was ball game. But for a few minutes at a time, this team played great defense yesterday. For a few minutes at a time, they played good offense yesterday. For some reason, they are so bad with a lead. And for some reason, they are so bad in the final 4 minutes of games at times. Sometimes they've, you know, closed it out and done well, but not yesterday. I mean, if they just make those free throws, then Padula doesn't have to be the hero that he was. It wasn't perfect, but most importantly, it was a win. And that team so desperately needed that win yesterday. They were already in the tournament. Joey Brackets was on the broadcast, like right before the game started, saying straight up, Ole Miss is just playing for seeding. They're a lock. But now that they've got that ninth win, you don't have to worry about possibly going to Dayton. You are definitely playing for seeding. Have a real opportunity on Wednesday against Tennessee. Hopefully the crowd will be better, especially in the student section as well, to create an environment that can bother Tennessee. But they get that ninth win. It was a very important win. Maybe they get some confidence back. Padula was just outstanding. They needed that one. They needed that one badly, but they still can play much better than they did yesterday. They still can have that defensive identity not last 8 minutes here, 5 minutes here. It can last 40 minutes. It certainly didn't yesterday. So they can play better. But you would hope that getting a win like that in the manner in which they got it can start building some confidence up in this team. Oklahoma, I mean, they beat Mississippi State 2 games ago. They played Kentucky down literally to the last shot. It is certainly not a bad Oklahoma team at all. I think they're still on the tournament bubble despite the loss. So you can't turn your nose up at any win in this version of the SEC. And getting that ninth win was just absolutely massive for Ole Miss and Chris Beard and that team, and, you know, have a real opportunity at home on Wednesday night. So that is basketball. We'll get to some quick thoughts on baseball in Jackson Dart after I tell you Toyota of Brookhaven also presents the Rebel Report. They're on Exit 40 in Brookhaven or online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com, and that's important. You don't have to live in the area to have a great car buying experience. Check out their online inventory at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. You can check out their Tundras that they've got in stock. Interest rates as low as 1.99% for 48 months on new Tundras. Use code REBELREPORT online, or tell them I sent you. You get $1,000 off on me, straight up, like before anything else, $1,000 already off on me on any in-stock new Toyota. They also have a service department, 7A, 7P, Monday through Friday. So pretty convenient for you if you live in the area. But if you are within driving distance and you're in the market for a vehicle, check out Toyota of Brookhaven. Again, exit 40 or online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. They deliver at Toyota of Brookhaven. So Ole Miss sweeps on the weekend. It's Wright State. It's hard to take big sweeping things away from a series like this for sure. Although starting pitching was very good, and it should be. It should be against Wright State. But I really liked the lineup that they put out there on Friday. And I'm not quite sure how they should approach it when the games start mattering a little bit more, because it was almost perfect. Now, I think Humphrey needs to be back in the lineup. I don't think you can take him out every day. But this is tough. I think the ideal lineup for this team is to have Federico DH and Fauley probably catch. He and Smithwick are not offering either one of them particularly great stuff at the plate at the moment, although I think Smithwick's ceiling is high at the plate, but Fauley's better. He's really good, a really good defensive catcher. Federico's got to be in the lineup every day. Uttermark needs to play first base full time. I know that you had an injury situation with Ryder, and that's what kept him out. But I thought Friday's lineup was about as close to perfect for this team as it can be. I really liked the way Mike Bianco put that together, although Federico, I think, probably needs to DH instead. It's tough. I don't know what you do with Smithwick and Fauley. I mean, they're both, let's see, Smithwick's hitting 160 with an OPS of 580, gets on base at a 300 clip. Fauley is 111, gets on base at 385, and his OPS is 829, so a much better OPS. But neither one of them are super highly productive. I don't know if you can keep both of those bats in the lineup as they're currently constructed. But that's just kind of nitpicking here. It was a weekend, again, where it's hard to take too much away. But what's important for Ole Miss baseball right now is they are doing exactly what a team that is good does. And, yes, I know they've got a win over Southern Miss, who, by the way, got a great series win over TCU this weekend. Arizona looks good. Ole Miss has win over Arizona. Clemson swept South Carolina this weekend, so that win looks outstanding as well. Even with all that, I'm not ready to sit here and say Ole Miss baseball is back and they're going to win 18 conference games and they're going to host a regional and do all that stuff. But I think right now you should be really encouraged about just simply how it looks and how it feels. They are playing and they look and they feel like just a good baseball team with a lineup that can hurt you. Now, they strike out a lot, but it's a lineup that can hurt you. You've got a lot of good bats in it right now. You're getting a lot of quality at bats from Luke Hill. And Hill is just off to an outstanding start, but Federico still has not struck out yet this season. I was expecting a quote unquote announcer's curse on him, but 28 at bats has yet to strike out this season. You've got a couple of bullpen options. You saw one today that looked really good. Starting pitching looks like you thought it would, especially again today. Hunter Elliott's in great shape. Clearly, this is right now, it looks like a good baseball team. And what more could you ask for than the start that Ole Miss has had so far this season? So it's Wright State. Very little that you can take away from a weekend series against Wright State. However, they look like what you would absolutely hope that they would look like right now. And what more can you ask for out of this team at this moment? So really, really good stuff there. And finally, Jackson Dart. All eyes were on him. Now, I know Ole Miss had a bunch of guys participate in the combine, but a lot of eyes on Jackson Dart and his performance. And it was, really, really good. I guess Ewers had a pretty good day as well. And otherwise, it was kind of the quote-unquote Jackson Dart show, throwing the football at the combine. And you had no Cam Ward, you had no Shedeur Sanders. And, I mean, it's not like Dart went in there and looked like Patrick Mahomes or anything. But when it comes to that setting where – and I see a lot of people making excuses for other guys not looking good. Like, well, Quinn Ewers looked good, and don't forget, you know, this is the first time throwing to these receivers, or same thing with Will Howard. Shedeur Sanders takes a Twitter, and why are y'all hating on Will Howard? He's never thrown to those receivers before, and you see that a lot with the combine, and that's why some top quarterbacks don't throw, because they're not familiar with the guys. But Jackson Dart wasn't familiar with his receivers, and he was pretty darn sharp and was the best quarterback that threw at the combine. Jordan Watkins also tested really well. His 40 time was excellent. Trey Amos tested well. Princely, not necessarily in the 40, but the vertical and the broad jump for him were really good numbers. But all the focus and attention is, of course, going to be on quarterback. And it sounds like Jackson Dart's time at the combine, he interviewed well and he tested really well. Those receivers he's not really thrown to before, and he looks sharp and on time. And NFL people are buzzing about him moving up. Now, does it mean he's going to be a top 10 pick now? Possibly not. But going into the combine, there was buzz about him moving up a lot of people's boards. And it sounds like, based on everything that I've read and looked at and seen, people reacting to the combine, talking about quarterbacks, that Jackson Dart continued to create the hype. Or let me rephrase that. Jackson Dart confirmed that the hype around him is justified with his move up and his performance at the combine. So really good stuff from Jackson. Again, Watkins had a really nice time, tested well at his size. So good stuff all around, pretty good stuff for the former Ole Miss players, and especially the quarterback. We'll do something. I know the draft is a month away, but we'll be live on draft night. I think the plan right now is to just go live after the first Ole Miss player is drafted. So if it is Dart, if it's Walter Nolan, whatever, we'll wait to go live until the pick is – it actually happens, and then we'll just react to the rest of it together. And so looking forward to that. We'll read your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. Get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. It's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day. With their online banking platform, it's outstanding. It's a one-stop shop. All you need really is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Do I think Dart would be a first-round lock if Ole Miss made the playoffs or at least won a game in the playoffs? Ooh, that's an interesting question. I don't know. Because what happens if he makes the playoffs and then plays poorly? You know, that might have negatively impacted things. His bowl performance against Duke is getting a lot of run right now. There are a lot of people watching that film and are impressed with what they saw. That was the healthiest, I mean, possibly all season that he was. But NFL people like to do their own evaluations. I know it seems kind of goofy. I mean, you've got 3 years of SEC film on him, but Senior Bowl and stuff like that, the combine and his pro day that's coming up, and those interviews carry so much more weight than like how he played against LSU last year. It's just how they roll. There's so many variables in college too. Like, I mean, his best receiver spent most of the season out. He got hurt in the Georgia game and was playing hurt until the end of the season, really on a bum ankle. Offensive line play, stuff like that, scheme. A lot of things that could negatively impact a quarterback or any player's performance. I think you guys are going to learn that about a particular wide receiver that Ole Miss has named Jean Stribling. You are going to find out quickly, it sounds like, from everybody that covers the team or is just kind of around. All of the word about him is that he's a really high-level player. And he put up good numbers last year, but there is a product of bad quarterback play. And apparently that was a huge get, as it turns out. So things like that are why NFL scouts want to evaluate people in person, right? They want to control the practices, the workouts, the film study, stuff like that, as opposed to just watching college film, because there's so many things wrong at times with what happens in college. So that's a good question, though. That was a very runaround answer, but that was a good question. What seed do I think Ole Miss would get with a win over Florida or Tennessee? Ooh, a 5. If they win them both, they could play their way into a 4, I suppose. But I think that would be a 6 or a 5. Shout out to Ole Miss women's basketball. Went on the road and beat number 7 LSU. They're a win or two away from hosting NCAA tournament games. And that would be great, right? That would be a big step for the program and to kind of get fan interest. Because, look, if we're being totally honest, one, it's already hard to support basketball in a small town in northern Mississippi where the closest metro area is over an hour away, and it's in Tennessee. So it's already hard enough to get support for the men's team. And the women's team is, you know, not supported widely. And that's totally understandable. It's a sport that doesn't draw as much, and that's just reality. That I'm not injecting opinion there. It just doesn't. And the programs that do, like LSU, had a great crowd today. Baton Rouge is huge. Oxford is tiny. You know what I mean? It's just easier for a place like Columbia, South Carolina, to support women's basketball when Columbia is huge, right? And Oxford is not. So they don't get sold-out arenas, and that's okay. It's just a product of all of those things. But hosting on site, I think you would get a massive draw. I really do. I think people would be excited for that and would support it. So that would be a really cool thing. Don't want to hear anyone rag on the basketball team after that win versus Oklahoma. We know what the issues are, but that was an extremely important game. Both teams needed, and they gutted it out and finished. Yep. Yep. It's, you know, I was kind of, you know, there's a few things that I didn't like about that. Why are they so bad with leads? Why are they so bad with leads? I don't understand it. I mean, they could have a couple of times really just buried Oklahoma and just refused to do it. But this league is tough. This league is really tough. Ask Mississippi State what Oklahoma's like. I mean, man, Kentucky had to fight and scrap and claw in that game. So Oklahoma was fighting for their tournament life and would not go away. And Sean Padula in particular buried them anyway. Might not have been his most points, but that was Sean Padula's best game in an Ole Miss uniform. Was in control the entire game. And when he had the ball at the end, I had confidence he would make the play. And Fears, Jeremiah Fears, Ole Miss defended him well. He was 4 of 14 from the field and missed all of his threes. Now, he had 7 assists, but holding Oklahoma's best player to 13 points, that also was credit to defense as well. Not a great crowd, but after some persuasion and energy from Beard, they finally got into the game in the second half. Should be a much better student presence versus Tennessee. I agree. And there was a lot of thoughts, understandably so, about the crowd. The broadcast kept talking about it, and they could that I didn't think that that was what they should be doing in that spot. And also, forgive my language, what the hell were they talking about at the end there with the jersey pull? I mean, just mind-blowing stuff. I mean, it's a very clear-cut decision by the officials, regardless of the spot of the game. Anyway, but a lot of Ole Miss fans were disappointed with the crowd, and I understand why, right? I mean, it's a team that was in the tournament, but that was a really important game, and the crowd wasn't great. And my counter to that would be they had lost 3 games in a row, and the last time they played on that floor, they got smoked. But also, you are still having to fill that arena with people that are just casual observers of basketball. It takes more than a year, almost 2 years, of building to create a fan culture that sells out the arena every night, especially after 3 consecutive losses. The program has only been to 9 NCAA tournaments. It's already hard enough for people to get to Oxford. It's most of not every Ole Miss fan lives in Oxford. Oxford's a small town. People have to give a serious time commitment to go to games anyway, and you are still having to build basketball culture within your fan base, and that takes time. It really takes time. Should the crowd have been better? Did the team need a better crowd? Of course. A tournament team should have a full arena. But that's not – I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I don't think it's an indictment on fans. I think it's an indictment on what the program has given fans for almost the entire life of it, which is very few meaningful seasons – with a bunch of crap sandwiched in between them all. So it takes time. It just takes time. You're not going to snap your fingers and have a fan base that's just going to be like, oh my God, basketball is the most important thing in the world. So I'm not a fan shamer. So maybe that's part of this. I think the crowd should have been better. The team deserved, despite the three losses in a row, maybe they deserved better. But I understand why it wasn't. And I think that after this win, fans should be inspired to go see them play Tennessee on Wednesday, especially students. Don't think you can take these wins for granted. Beard isn't getting all he needs out of them for sure. I'm kind of treating this like the Texas game earlier in the season. Yeah. Despite the defensive deficiencies, I thought they defended Oklahoma's last possession. Well, they did. And I don't know what happened or why they can't play 40 minutes of relentless defense like they did earlier in the season anymore. But best thing about baseball for the weekend is that they looked comfortable, not really a moment where things were off. And yeah, I agree with Friday's lineup and defense. I don't know what you do at catcher. I mean, you don't want to just sit Smithwick for sure. I don't know. It's tough. I mean, it's tough, but that's why you get paid what Mike Bianco gets paid to make tough decisions. I don't know if having both of those bats in the lineup is what's best. And Folly, I think, is better behind the plate. Federico's got to be an everyday guy. And it's kind of – I think the players that should be everyday guys are separating themselves right now for the most part. Thoughts on SEC basketball? Right now, Tennessee and Vandy's wild wins and then the current situation on the bubble. How about Vanderbilt? My goodness. That was a huge win. Missouri, I've been saying for weeks that Missouri is the most underrated team in the SEC. I'm afraid that Auburn is peaking at the exact right time. The most hateable basketball team since, what, J.J. Redick's Duke? I mean, gosh, they are so easy to dislike, but they are so good and just absolutely walloped Kentucky from the jump. That was absolutely nuts. As far as the bubble goes, what the hell happened to Arkansas? I mean, I know South Carolina's been tough at home, but that was an embarrassment. 14 first half points is just an absolute train wreck. And I mean, Georgia's playing their way on or into the tournament right now. Get one more win, they're probably in. It certainly sounds like that was a really impressive win by Georgia. And I think that Texas might be out of this thing. The league's not get. I don't think they're getting 13 teams in. I really don't think the SEC's getting 13 teams. Like you said, baseball is just doing what they need to do. Meanwhile, some other teams in the league, mainly A&M and State, are struggling mightily. Georgia had to fight this weekend. Arkansas has put themselves in some weird spots. So the fact that Ole Miss is just comfortably kind of just casually winning games, and I'm telling you, I told you guys the other night, but I keep gassing them up. I don't know why I've taken that upon myself to just be like the pro Southern Miss guy, but I think that you saw this weekend why I was so impressed with the way they played and beating Southern Miss the way they did. That's a really, really good Southern Miss team, guys. That is a really good Southern Miss team. They got a huge series win this weekend. So Ole Miss has done nothing but impress so far. Just done nothing but impress in baseball so far. There's a lot to like about this team right now. It'll get real here soon. We'll see what that's like. I mean, how many days away? So they've got CeeLa and Murray State in the midweek, Jacksonville State, and then boom, it's Arkansas. It gets real very soon. This is the best Ole Miss podcast on YouTube. You actually let the chat decide the topic. Yeah, I appreciate it. It's the same thing that I try to do on the radio show as well. I want the listeners to drive the conversation. I read a ton of messages during the radio show, because if you're going to take time, in my opinion anyway, this is just, not everybody feels this way, understandably so. I mean, sometimes audience members say things that you probably shouldn't read, and Haydad thinks I'm a little too quote unquote liberal, not politically liberal, but too liberal with the things that I read sometimes. But I think that if you're going to take time out of your day to send a message into our radio show or leave a comment here, then I need to read it. I need to engage with you, because if you're going to do that, then ignoring you would just be wrong to me. So anyway, I appreciate you, man. Morris and Jones are looking good. Yeah. And I mean, I still like Hooks so much. I don't know why I've chosen to stand for him too, but I mean, what, 9 strikeouts and 6 innings pitched. His whip is 0.33, just really good stuff. His whip is better than Hunter Elliott's right now. It's the best on the team. And Hunter Elliott's is 0.88. So, starting to buy into the dark going first round talk. He did everything that he needed to this week to make that more of a reality, for sure. Imagine a live stream during the Ole Miss draft night 2016. Oh, man. And you know what really sucks about that situation is Laramie Tunsil is just a really good guy. The fact that that happened to him, and there were narratives about him, and that's what's so stupid about the NFL. I mean, current NFL players are just, when they're not getting tested, they're out. They know what they're doing, right? He was smoking weed, man, and they took that and made him to be some bad, problematic guy. And no, he's a good dude, and he was always good. And some absolute loser sabotaged the biggest night of his life, and look who's laughing now. What do you think the guy that did that to Laramie, what do you think he's up to today? Not doing what Laramie's doing. So that was a shame. That was such a shame, because he's a good dude. Dart should be QB1. There is some talk about him moving up to the 2 slot. I think that there has been at least some leakage, if you will. That's a weird thing to say. About Shedeur Sanders possibly not blowing scouts away with, you know, game tape and stuff like that. There's some things that they're worried about. And of course there's things they're worried about with Dart and Cam Ward and everybody. But there's a possibility, at least according to some people that cover the draft, that teams are looking at possibly that QB2 is not a given. Do I think it's in the budget for Beard to land a top 5-star recruit? Yes, I do. I do think it's in the budget. Chalking up the Florida game next Saturday as an auto loss. Yeah, that feels like a schedule loss, but hell, if they win, great. But you'll be interested to see if Ole Miss can jump on Tennessee. Are the Vols distracted off a high after beating Bama that way? And it's on the road. It should be, and the team now deserves an outstanding environment, so that should help. They're bad with leads because they don't have a big that can control the paint. Here's the thing, JD. They do have a big that can do it. Problem is, he doesn't enough. But your point's a good one. There were some questionable whistles, but I didn't think it was a foul when Morrell was forcing 7 on Oklahoma under the basket. Glad they didn't call that. I actually agree with you. Do I think Ole Miss will beat Tennessee? Right now, no. I don't think that they will beat Tennessee. But can they? Yeah. Is there a chance that at 11 o'clock on Wednesday night, we're sitting here doing a live talking about an Ole Miss win? Yes, I think that there's a chance for that. Let's look at Tennessee's most recent results. I know they were bad on the road earlier this season, but let's see what they've done lately. So they got that win over Alabama. They won by 6 at LSU. They won by 8 at Texas A&M. That's a really nice win for them. But, you know, had a tight game at LSU, had a tight game at A&M, lost in Rupp. They did beat Oklahoma. And Tennessee's really freaking good. I mean, there's no other way around it. But Ole Miss will have a shot. I think they'll have a shot. SEC tournament-wise, if I'm Ole Miss, does not want to be playing Kentucky or Mississippi State again in Nashville. No, and hell, if they get one of these next two, I don't think it would be the worst thing if they just lost and got to go home and rest. I know that's a weird thing to say, but anyway. So glad to see we're playing the yearly game of when will Ole Miss baseball get their powder blue uniforms. Wouldn't be surprised if Texas and Oklahoma are looking for new basketball coaches soon. Wouldn't be surprised about that either. I have not seen this. Texas A&M player called out their fan base on Twitter that has gone viral. Baseball? Interesting. I've not seen that. Baseball is back. As I said before, I'm not going there quite yet, but they do look, they do look right, you know? And last year and the year before, they did not look right, really at any point. I remember, I think it was, what was it last year that they won one series and some people were doing the don't let the Rebs get hot thing. It's like, yeah, what are you watching? They're not going to be hot. They're a bad baseball team. This one, you have to really nitpick to find things that are wrong with it right now. And maybe Arkansas will expose some of those things and we'll have to see. But right now, I got nothing but good things to say about them. You don't buy any of this Beard leaving stuff. He's trying to build a program, and it's year two, a real work in progress. I don't think that's why they're sliding necessarily. But, and also, maybe I'm like not looking in the right places. I don't think that he's candidate one there. I don't think yet this has become the Kiffin-Auburn thing, where he was clearly candidate one, despite what some people at Auburn still insist on telling you, they're lying to you. He was candidate one there, and that got really weird because of that. They were talking, right? And I'm sure whoever Beard's agent is doing back-channel conversations, because that's what good agents do, regardless if they want to take a job or not. But I haven't seen anybody that covers Indiana say that he's candidate one, and that's who they're going after, so... If that is the reason that the team has struggled lately, then that's a bad job of managing a situation that hasn't even really materialized in anything yet. So I don't know if that's what it is or not. I think some things have caught up to them, and for whatever reason, they kind of lost their defensive identity. If they get that back with the right matchup, they can win a tournament game or two. This baseball team isn't finishing 15th in the conference. I would agree with that statement wholeheartedly right now. I can tell you who's finishing 16th in the conference. Ooh, Missouri. God, they're awful. Ole Miss needs to do what needs to be done to keep Beard and Kiffin as long as they can. I promise you that if Chris Beard leaves, it will be for reasons other than what Keith Carter offered him. They're going to do everything they can to keep him. But until that materializes, I don't think we need to spend too much time talking about it, you know? We'll also be interested to see the status of Chris Lemonis as the season continues. Oh boy, if they start stacking losses, it's going to get very uncomfortable. I don't think Zach Selman would pull the trigger before the season's over, but yeah, fans are still needing to learn what good basketball is. Absolutely. That's why I didn't have like this, a crazy strong take about the crowd Saturday. It takes a long time to build the culture like that Auburn's got now. You think that Auburn was selling out their arena, boom, right away? Packed environments and all that? No, absolutely not. They weren't anywhere close to that. It takes a while. And like I said before, it's a program that really has so little success that, you know, a lot of Ole Miss fans don't even really know what it's like to have a tournament run. I mean, the last run they made of any kind in March was 2013. I know they've made the tournament since then, but and Steph Moody won a great game against BYU, but I mean, the 2013 team was the one that was fun in March. It was 12 years ago. They won the SEC tournament and then beat Wisconsin in the opening round. Shouldn't have lost to LaSalle. I mean, it should have been a Sweet 16 team, but that was the last like run that Ole Miss basketball has made. That was 12 years ago. And then how long was it since before 2013, you know? So it takes a while for people to understand how important what this team has done is. I'm with you. Say it's crazy that Lamona still has a job. He wouldn't if he didn't make a regional last year. Should have hosted. I mean, they had an argument to host. He wouldn't right now, but anyway. More you look at the football team, the more you like the pieces they brought in. Way too optimistic for the team. Could make the playoffs. The schedule certainly helps that. I've got to see three things. None of which is defense, which is weird because they lose so much on defense. I just have a lot of faith in Pete Golding. I do like a lot of what I hear about the defensive line and what you know, right? Like Xavier Harris, watch him when he plays. Like that dude can be quite good. Perkins is back, for example. So they've got Stone's back. Jam Brown's back. You've got a lot there to like. Dottery back at linebacker, and they portaled that position very well. Some questions about the secondary, I guess. But it's offensive line. It's running back, and of course, Austin Simmons. Austin Simmons' talent ceiling is incredibly high, but is he, you know, is he ready? And how much growing pains will he go through in his first season as a starter? But the schedule sets up nicely. If Ole Miss wins games in the NCAA tournament, the fan base will go stir crazy. That stuff means a lot. There is nothing more intoxicating than an NCAA tournament win in basketball. It's unbelievable. Is it most of the starters on the basketball roster seniors? If so, then the beard rumor should have no effect on these losses. Yeah, see, that's another thing I didn't even mention earlier. This team is too experienced to miss 4 of 5 free throws with good free throw shooters at the line, to blow 9-point leads deep into the second half. They're too experienced for for some of the stuff that they do, but that's what they do. State would make a regional in baseball if you were coaching. What about Ole Miss? I'm kidding. But anyway, I got to run, guys. I appreciate you, as always, being here. You're the best. And what should we do? Should we go live Tuesday? Should we do Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday? That's a lot. Let's just go live. We'll go live Tuesday. We'll go live Tuesday, and if they win Wednesday, we'll go live postgame. How about that? That works. We'll be live Tuesday, 8 o'clock. See you guys then. Appreciate you, and talk to you on Tuesday. Y'all have a good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.